Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Republic Boot Company in the Heights, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George, Michael Connor here with you on ESPN 97.5 for another hour, broadcasting live from Republic Boot Company right now. For the person who has everything, Republic Boot Company. Get them a pair of nice boots, custom fit as well. It's been a packed house here today for the moment we walked in. Nice little parking lot across the street now.
Yeah.
That was a surprise when I was driving up. I did not know that. They've this part of the building we're in now used to be a separate building that they would have to walk out the back and come through. This is where we're sitting now, is where all the boots used to be stored.
Okay.
And then they bought this building and they connected it. So now they have the ability to have all of it open. They got this nice little chair over here, these beautiful chairs we're sitting in.
Apparently, King of Country's been watching the show the whole
time. That's
true. Got out of George.
Now, look, they put us in these nice chairs. They made John and Lance sit in chairs, they told us, with no backs.
I saw the pictures. Yeah, so I saw the tweets, and I was like, man, I'm going to be sitting in that little ass chair today.
They hooked it up.
This is way better.
They're like, hey, Joe's coming. Michael's coming.
Yeah.
Take care of those guys.
Michael occasionally shows up like once a month when Joe invites him, and we got to make sure he's taken care
of. That's true. And maybe more, because Jeremy's going to be out a lot in January. So
I'll be around.
All right. Real tree, fake tree?
We have fake trees.
Okay.
You want to take a guess how many the number of trees are in my home?
Okay.
I live with a Christmas queen,
I know you do. I know this is like her. This is her Super Bowl.
Yeah. Dude, it's her Super Bowl. That is absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Besides tonight, because she's a Bama fan.
She won't barely watch tonight.
Oh, that's right.
She'd be a wrap.
I'm going to say you have 4 trees in your house.
Higher.
7.
That is the number.
Really?
There are 7 Christmas
okay.
trees. Now, they're
okay.
all big trees.
Okay. That was my quick
There's
follow-up.
There's 2 9-footers.
Okay.
There's one at the entry of the house, and then there's one in the living room. There's 2 probably 5-foot trees.
Okay.
There's probably actually 3 5-foot. I think it's 3 5-foot trees. So it's 5, and then there's 2 little tiny ones that are in like other rooms.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
I'm surprised if you have 7 trees, not one of them is like, maybe like the one by the entrance.
Nope.
You have 1 real tree.
Never.
It's not worth the mess.
It's not worth it. I've done real tree 1 time in my life when I was in my early 20s in my own apartment, and that was the biggest mistake I ever made. I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
There's crap everywhere. The needles are everywhere. The dog's trying to pee on it half the time, trying to drink the water out of it. I'm like, we're not doing this.
That's, yeah. The
bugs in it.
Yep.
Nope. I'm good.
We have 1.
Now, I don't do, do you put it together?
Huh? We kind of do like a family day.
Okay. I don't touch them. I take them out. I put them up. She wants them looking the way she wants them looking. I don't touch them.
No,
I refuse to fluff.
Yeah.
Because if I do it, I just get yelled at.
You just do it wrong.
And I'm not doing it wrong intentionally.
Yeah.
I've actually tried. But also, they're 2 9-foot trees.
There's effort happening, just you're being rejected.
I don't want any part of it. And I refuse to do it now.
Yeah,
I refuse to even help.
Yeah, we do like a little family day. Just, you know, putting it up and everything.
Okay.
Brian, how many trees do you have in your house?
We got the answer. Just 2. Just 2.
Oh, 2. Okay. Okay. I guess we're
yeah,
we're
we have a family one, and then I've got one in my man cave with a bunch of nonsense on it.
Okay, so
I am a problem. My house is a problem.
Bunch
obviously.
Of nonsense. That makes me feel like, Brian, there is at minimum 3
WWE ornaments on that tree?
There's actually only one, and it's at the top of the tree. CM Punk sits at the top of the tree.
Are there any, like, liquor bottles that are attached to a string?
Not actually. There's some, there's just, you know, stuff from shows I like and different things.
That's a good call. I mean,
ours have different themes, too.
Oh, each tree has a different theme?
Yeah. The big two are like the fancy, you know, she does the ribbon and all that, and like the really big ornaments and everything. Two of them are all like our ornaments from places we traveled.
Okay, good call.
And then the rest of them are like, I don't know, one's a Disney tree.
Okay.
One's just a, I don't know what the hell's on it, honestly.
When's your trees go up?
They got pulled out in October.
Okay.
And
that's
they
early.
Were put together early November.
Too early.
Way too early.
So I got a question
here,
Michael.
I agree, but when I think about it, you know what?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're in a situation where
we have
like,
so many of them. Yeah. I want her to make it worth it, put them up, and get it over with.
Yeah.
So and I have then a, they will be down mid-January.
Okay.
So I'm assuming, Michael, unless you're doing better than I think, that you don't have a seven-bedroom house. Like,
no,
are there any rooms in your house that have two or more trees in them?
No, it's all in different. So we have four bedrooms. We have there's an office, and then there's like a little like den area between the two bedrooms. So there's one in there, there's one in the office, entry hall to the front door, living room, our bedroom, and then one upstairs.
And one
a little
in
den
your
area
bedroom.
Up there. Yeah, she has one in our bedroom. Mm.
That's
and
a
it,
lot.
That one's one of those fake ones that's like looks like it's got snow on it. It's the worst. It gets crap everywhere. I hate it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're vacuuming every day.
Oh, dude. I vacuumed yesterday because it was everywhere. I just want to take that tree and I would give it away to somebody. They can come pick it up. You can have it.
We have one. It goes up. I go day after Christmas. I mean day after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And that thing is going to come down when I get to it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a low expectation.
Mid March.
So the tree went down early last year.
Okay.
Okay. We just moved into a new house.
You have moved more than anybody I know.
Yeah, we were at this last place for 2 years.
Okay. I just feel like every time I see you, you're moving somewhere.
I've moved a lot. And this house will probably last a year because there's so many things wrong with it. Because we rent. So we moved in September. Okay?
Yeah.
There was no tree. The stockings were still up. They never went down.
Wow.
Never went down.
Wow.
Just looked at them every day, walked past them, was like, I'll get to it. Never got to it. And then it got to the point where it's like, we're moving soon.
Who cares?
So, like, I'll get to it. Like, when it comes time to pack that room up, that's when they're going down.
Okay.
That won't happen again.
I wish I could just, like, you know what I wish more than anything is that I could just take all this crap and the tree specifically and just, like, hide it in a corner somewhere, you know, with, like, some sort of something to just cover it so I don't have
to. Yeah, they need to put trees on, like, rollers to where you can roll it in a closet and then just roll it back out.
That'd be amazing. Just have a dedicated Christmas tree closet.
Do you have
never have to worry about it.
I mean, do you guys have a garage?
Yeah, that's full of crap.
Oh, okay.
We have a 3-car garage, and it's filled with crap. I mean, more crap than you've ever seen in your life for two people who don't even have kids. We have boys that are our nephews that live with us. They've been with us for 4 years. But, like, we don't have our own children. We don't have tiny. We just have crap, man. There's bikes. I got a generator out there. There's bags of. There's just all kinds of crap. I'm like, why do we have all this crap?
Because the garage would just be like, that's where you could just, as Brian said, just put them in there.
I wish.
Just bring them out.
There's nowhere to put anything in that garage.
All right, he is Michael Connor. I guess, Brian, how long does your tree stay up? How quickly are you getting those things down?
Usually it's like the Saturday after New Year's kind of my cutoff.
That's fair. That's a good
call.
Yeah,
like that first weekend after New Year's, I try to take everything down.
Yeah, because
I get the Christmas lights outside out quickly for sure.
Yeah,
those
see,
are done quickly.
That's where, like, We're not doing them this year because with the new house, I just didn't want to deal with it. But
I went my hardest in the paint this year.
Yeah, that's where growing up in Illinois is so different than here. Because here, it's like they can come down the next day.
Yeah.
But in Illinois, like they just kind of – it's not really up to you. If it snows every day for a month and it's dangerous to be outside on a ladder because it's so slippery because there's ice everywhere still – those things are up until the craziest thing I saw last year. We did Christmas at my parents' house, and we were going to go with my in-laws later in the day. We went to my parents in the morning. We stopped at home first. Mm-hmm. Tried to put Joseph down for a nap. By the time we got home at 1 o'clock, we had neighbors taking their Christmas lights down.
Some people are just about it, man.
That's like anti-Christmas to me.
But they had them up.
I know, but like you're taking them down on Christmas Day? That's too quick.
I've done it the day after.
That's fine. I think the day after's fine. But like day of, extreme. I don't know if it was gonna be like it was gonna rain the next day.
Most of the people in our neighborhood pay people to do it, and I'm like, you lazy bums.
Yeah, there's a lot of the advertisements in the neighborhood I live
everywhere.
In now, where it's like, hey, call this number and we'll put up your Christmas
lights. Every freaking corner, there's one of those.
It's just a couple weeks ago, maybe like 2 months ago. Will Kunkel was filling in for Jeremy one day, and we did a debate of all these non-manly things.
Okay,
that didn't come up. I'm gonna add that.
What's on the list?
Gosh, I don't even remember at this point. There was a lot of things.
Is mowing the yard one of them?
Yeah.
I've quit mowing the yard. I mowed my yard for almost 5 years, and I finally gave it up.
I don't now, but it's in my lease that, like, they pay for it.
So if anybody's looking to buy some pretty nice lawn equipment for sale.
At Michael
holler,
Connor.
At
Connor Michael.
Yeah, holler at your boy.
On Twitter.
Echo Equipment, Honda, we got it all, baby.
All right, he is Michael Connor. I'm Joe George. Brian McDonald back at the studio as we broadcast live from Republic Boot Company. A question very quickly that we've been wondering about the Astros, because there have been different numbers at different websites we have an answer to. We'll get to that next, and back to some more NFL stuff as well. That's next here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're back with Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Republic Boot Company in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Get rodeo ready right here at Republic Boot Company. Custom boots. They got ones that just, you know, kind of fit as well for you that you can try on. Plenty of hats. Lots of fun stuff that you can get here. Really, you can do whatever you want. Christmas
Western
gifts.
Western look is in, man.
It is.
For a minute now.
He's Michael Connor. I'm Joe George. We're, again, broadcasting live here from Republic Boot Company. Brian back at the studio. Depending on the website you looked at, there was some kind of inconsistencies, I guess, with if the Astros were actually over and going to be paying into the collective bargaining tax for last season. Jesse Rogers from ESPN just reported the final CBT numbers are in for 2025. Because this matters. Because this is what Jim Crane...
How much less money will Jim Crane spend this
exactly.
year?
Exactly. And, like, does he want to go over it for a third time? But there are a record nine teams paid the tax this year. The Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Blue Jays, the Padres, the Red Sox, the Rangers, the Astros, and the Dodgers are the nine teams that
are paying the tax. How many of those teams didn't make the postseason?
That didn't make the postseason?
At three? Four? Three?
The Red Sox, the Astros, the Rangers, and the Mets. Did the Mets make the postseason last year?
No. Red Sox didn't make it. They made it.
No, the Red Sox didn't make it. You're right. So, yeah, three, I think.
Three.
Yeah, so three of the nine did not make it.
Not a good look when you're in that list and you don't make the postseason.
All right, let's play a guessing game here, okay?
Okay.
The Rangers paid the least amount of tax on last year.
Okay.
$190,000.
Okay.
What do you think the Dodgers had to pay on the collective bargaining tax?
I think their total bill has got to be close to $1 billion. Because what was their payroll, 400 something million?
Yeah, so you don't get taxed on all of it.
Okay, so 200 million?
Pretty close.
Okay.
$169 million.
That's insane.
And see, this is the problem.
You cannot convince me that they're making money.
No, I don't think they are. Well, no. You know what? The Dodgers might be.
Is their TV deal that good?
It is in Japan.
That's true.
Because they own the rights to it.
That's right.
And everywhere you go, there's Ohtani jerseys in every Asian country, basically.
Yeah.
They're making so much money because of him and Yamamoto.
Yeah.
That, like, it doesn't really matter.
Maybe Sasaki will help him at some point.
Yeah. They're making so much money. Like, they might be. They probably have sellout of a majority of their home games.
They're such a problem.
All the World Series money.
We got to fix it, man.
I just don't know what the fix is.
I don't either. I mean, the fix is having a salary cap. It's never going to come.
No.
It's never going
to
come.
Even, and that's where, like, to me, with like the lockout next year, I would be really discouraged if that's what the players ultimately and the owners are fighting about, because that makes me feel like we're going to miss baseball games, and that isn't going to get a resolution. Like, they're not going to end up with a salary cap.
No, they're not.
I think there's going to be a floor. I think a floor is going to get put in. A higher floor. Like, I think they're going to look at teams like...
You just got to give steeper penalties.
The Pittsburgh Pirates, like the Tampa Bay Rays, like the White Sox, like these teams who spend no money.
Yeah.
They're going to force them to spend money because that's going to benefit the players. It's going to increase the average salary when you hit free agency. And if I was the players, honestly, the one thing I would be fighting for is I would want my clock to start the day I signed or got drafted.
I get that.
Because then you get to the big leagues faster, you get to free agency faster.
Yeah. Free agency definitely has to, you have to get there faster to get the players.
You go through arbitration faster.
Yeah.
Like, then it's like, you know, you're hitting.
Does arbitration even exist anymore? Like, yeah, you get rid of that.
Like, Kyle Tucker, instead of being a free agent at 30, could be a free agent at 27.
And, like, maybe you introduce so restricted free agency.
It wouldn't shock me. Like, that. Not like we won't get like the franchise tag like we get in the NFL, but like kind of like similar to the NBA model.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, they've got a lot to work through this offseason, and I think we're headed to a lockout. I don't think it has to be 94.
They'll be locked out for sure in the offseason. That's a guarantee.
I don't think it's going to be 94. Like, I don't think season's going to end or anything like that.
I bet it goes into the season, though.
I think it goes into the season. I don't think we play 162 next year. I think, like, my gut tells me what we're going to see next year is going to remind us a lot of the COVID season. Not with the amount of games, but squeezing in games and doing 7-inning doubleheaders and getting as many games in to make up the money for the owners and so the players can get their paycheck. Because that's what honestly what scares me the most about everything is what happened during COVID with the fact that the owners were like, we're not playing 162, so we're not paying the players what they're owed, and the players fought back against it.
Right.
And that ultimately is what made the baseball season that year 60 games, because they could have played sooner.
Right.
But they had issues there. So, like, that to me was such a bad sign for what's to come. So, like, I think if they look at that model of, like, as, like, their backup to get games in, they can, but I feel like we're looking at, like, 100 games next year.
I think that that's probably about as high as I'd be willing to go.
It sucks, because, like, it's a dead time for sports talk. It's a bad.
Good luck to you guys.
It's a bad time for the business. Like, baseball ratings are up everywhere you look at it.
Yeah.
Like, World Series, playoffs, local TV, local radio, all
people
these special
like
broadcasts.
Sports.
Like baseball ratings are on the rise. Not
to historic levels, but the sport has rebounded.
It's rebounding, and then you're just going to shoot yourself in the foot. Is crazy to me. Like, they have to. I hope I'm so wrong. I hope Jeremy Branham gets to put me on Bad Take Boulevard 300 times.
I hope so too. Overall, because I do think at the end of the day, like you said, like, they're not going to get what they ultimately want.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball. If they wanted salary cap, they would have gotten it years ago. Like, before you and I were born.
Yeah,
that's the only reason. Like, that's the reason why they're never going to get it. It's not happening in 2025.
No,
but some sort of figuring out. There has to be more penalty on teams. Not even penalty. Like, there just has to be more restrictions. The Dodgers should not be able to exist the way that they do. They shouldn't.
I agree.
For the fairness of the sport, for the sport's health, there are 5 to 10 markets that can go into any year and think they can actually maybe win a World Series. That's it. And you have a sport of 30 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you? I always say, why would you even be a fan of a team in a city like Pittsburgh or Cincinnati? It's pointless.
That's actually, we'll transition to that, because that's Jim Bowden from The Athletic put out a story or had a video that went viral the other day in which he talks about being a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. He says in the video, you can trade yourself to the Dodgers. You can be in a free agency. So the question I have actually on here is there ever an acceptable time ever to abandon your fandom? Like, because I hear you, how bad, like, why would you start, like, why as a dad would you put that on your kid?
Right.
But, like, you're going to, right?
I think you just make them sports fans in general.
Yeah.
Baseball fans in general.
Let them pick their team.
I wouldn't even pick a team.
But I feel like
just
once,
watch
like,
it.
Well, that's what NBA kids are doing.
Yeah.
They're fans
they love
of players.
Players.
They don't love teams anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why that sport's struggling in ways, because they don't have the loyalty.
Right.
They're going from team to team to team, and they're not – they're following that. But I don't think there's – like, once you're, like, locked in
– Oh, yeah, yeah, like, I did – I had this debate when the Texans were going through what they went through, the Easterby thing. I flat out asked this, I think, on Twitter, because I was at that point where I was done. Like, I'm done investing my emotional support into this football team at all. And part of me was like, do I just go follow my boy Patrick Mahomes and become a Chiefs fan? And I was dead serious at the time. And the more I thought about it, I was like, no, it's a weak out. It's a weak crap out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't root for the Texans as much anymore, but I'm not going to go root for somebody else's team.
I think there's nothing wrong with, to stop supporting.
Yeah.
To stop going, to take a pause and watching. Like, I don't think what Astros fans did during that Comcast disaster era, where they're losing 100 games every year, they're not on TV.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any – like, I know a lot of people give grief about, like, bandwagon fans and people
showing up
now.
It was
like,
terrible.
Like, yeah, I think a lot of the people who try to peacock on social media about being fans through the bad times are honestly full of it. Like
– I was one of the people that pained myself through it. I actually did watch all the bad times. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think more than anything because I didn't have anything else better to do.
Yeah.
But now I'm with you. Like, when the Texans were terrible – We've done radio. When they were terrible, there was weekends where I wouldn't watch those games.
Because we wouldn't talk about them on Monday.
Yeah. I mean, why would I waste my time?
Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything
And now,
wrong
like,
with
that I'm out of this world, you're absolutely right. Like, when one of these teams sucks again, guess what I won't spend any time doing? Watching them.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
I think bandwagoning to another team when things are bad, though.
It's pretty bad.
Is bad. Yeah. I hate to pick on a child here, but the kid who went viral a couple years ago, in the Rangers t-shirt, and when Altuve hit a walk-off home run like that, and he took it off and he had an Astros t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's bad parenting, first of all.
Yeah.
That's very bad
parenting. Very bad parenting.
Like,
jail,
that, honestly. That cannot happen.
Jail.
Dana has given me grief about Joseph already. Like, we went Cubs-Astros this year, and he was pissing off the people around him.
He's got Cubs stuff on.
He's yelling, go Cubs, go. And I'm like,
it's fine.
I'm sorry. Like,
you know what? I respect it.
As he gets older, if he wants to choose the Astros, because I love the Astros, I got no problem. Like,
yeah.
I love these teams, but I'm not fake. I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to stop rooting for the teams I grew up
watching.
No,
and I wouldn't expect you. Like, if Astros-Cubs got together in the World Series, I would expect you to be full on Cubby.
Yeah,
Cubby Joe.
Texans-Bears this year, Super Bowl.
Bears Joe. Here he comes.
7308 says, I don't keep going to restaurants if the food sucks. Same with sports. Yes, but you stop going, right? That's the point. Like, you don't – now, with restaurants, you go somewhere else to eat.
Yeah.
But I don't think you become a Cowboys fan if you're a Texans fan.
Hell no.
Like, I don't think you become
– That's never an option.
And I guess the other way. You don't become a Texans fan right now if you're a Cowboys fan because you're not going to make the playoffs. I think it's totally, totally unacceptable. Like, once you're locked in, I think it, like –
The only way it's acceptable is if you are a Dodgers fan and you're like, you know what? I hate them so much. I'm going to go be a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, you can root for it.
Respect.
Like, the only way, like, I think, like, you have to, like, be, like, something has to happen that's, like, I think, like, heinous for you to abandon. Like, if you didn't go to Penn State, but you were a Penn State fan when everything broke.
Yeah.
And you're like, yep, can't root for them anymore. Support you.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, get it. But, like, if it's just like, oh, man, like, they fired James Franklin after, you know, making the playoffs year before, I'm going to go be a Alabama fan. Nope.
No.
Not welcome. Not allowed. You can't, like, jump off the wagon. Like, you can stop watching, but, like, do not jump off the wagon and start rooting for someone else. What's the age? When do you have to make your choice?
On the team?
Yeah.
I think, honestly.
Because I think when you're a kid.
Early teens.
I think early teens, too.
Early teens. At the latest.
I think it's like once like you have like your driver's license, you're locked in. 6487 says, I think it's okay if you move to set your roots in a new city. Yes.
See, I have that question because there's, I mean, for me now in my new world where I'm going to go off and, you know, fly airplanes for a living, I'm probably going to end up moving at some point if I'm not flying for an airline that's here in the city of Houston.
Yeah.
What do I do? I can't go to that city and support a team. Like, when I think about the possibilities, like, I could end up in Chicago or I could end up in Boston.
See, I think you can if they're in the other conference.
I can't.
Like, I'm supportive
of that. I can't.
That's fine.
I think if I ended up in Chicago, maybe I'd have a little bit of an affection. I've always had a little bit of an affection for the Cubs.
Yeah, I wouldn't root for the
Bears.
They're just going to break your heart.
Because of day baseball.
Yep.
and they were always on TV. But I never loved them, obviously.
9501 says Mavs trading Luka is a fine reason to leave the Mavs fan base. You know what?
I will actually give credit to the Mavs fans for how dug in they've been on this.
Dude, agreed.
When we ran the Dallas Half Marathon this past weekend,
yeah.
You run by American Airlines Center, and they had all the Mavericks people out there, and I just could not resist it.
Yeah.
My wife looks at me, she goes, "Don't you do it," as we're running, and I just go, "Where's Luka?" I'm screaming out, "Where's Luka?"
Yeah, like I think that is like the one where it's like, I support that. Like, that is such a terrible, because it's not like if you're a Bucks fan and you wake up tomorrow and Giannis is a New York Knick, and he demanded the trade, like you can root for Giannis in New York, but you're still a Bucks fan. But what the Mavs did, like, it crosses a line with your fan base that, like,
it was DeAndre Hopkins trade on steroids.
Yeah, and even the Hopkins one, like.
But it was so out there. Like, it
David
just was
Johnson
so unexpected.
Sucked.
It was so awful.
Yeah, like, David Johnson was awful. Like, Hopkins wasn't that good. Like,
no, he ended up not being that good. But, like, just where the fan base was at the time, I guess, is where I'm trying to compare it. Like,
yeah.
It's that trade times, like, a million. It's a young superstar in the prime of his career. And you just said, eh, we're going to go get this older guy who's injured, and we're going to do it out of nowhere.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
9501 says Clippers fans have jumped off after the CP3 deal.
They should have been jumped off before. That franchise sucks.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, like, is one where I don't blame them because, like, it's supposed to be a retirement tour.
Yeah.
And he still got cut. Like, I would have a hard time abandoning my team for that. But, like, if you're – what's his name? Larry the Clipper?
Oh, fan? Yeah. Whatever. Is he still around?
I don't know.
Well, they banned him or something.
I think he had a falling out with the team after the Blake Griffin trade.
Yeah.
Like, that I get. Like, I guess, like, if they trade, like, your favorite player or cut your favorite player, like,
you can be hurt for a minute.
Yeah.
You, like, get over it.
I mean, like, I wouldn't blame Texans. Like, I also I think it's unfair for, like, Texans fans who are, like, out after the Hopkins trade to now try to gatekeep them from being back in. Like, that's one of the dumbest things they've ever done. And it worked out because, like, Hopkins wasn't that good after.
Yeah.
He still should have got a first-round pick for him because Diggs got a first-round pick the week later.
He should have gotten multiple first-round picks for him.
But, like, I don't know. I just think there's no real one. 7308 says if your team moves, you can pick a new team. Absolutely. Oilers.
The people that follow the Oilers to Tennessee are the biggest joke in the history.
Yeah, like, this person said, they were an Oilers fan, then they became a Broncos fan, and then they became a Texans fan. I would not, like.
Do you think the people of Connecticut who are about to lose the Sun to the city of Houston will stick with the Houston comments?
Yeah, we'll mention that here quickly before we go to break. Tillman Fertitta and the Rockets are apparently in negotiations with the Connecticut Sun to purchase that franchise
and move them here
and bring a WNBA team back to Houston. Ramona Shelbourne said Houston Rockets ownership is in substantive talks with the Connecticut Sun over the potential purchase and relocation of the WNBA franchise. Sources tell Ramona Shelbourne. So, congratulations, WNBA.
Jeremy Branham, the future voice of the Houston Comets, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Honestly, I wouldn't rule it out.
It's not crazy.
I mean, Branham to me would be the top option. I'm not just saying that because I'm his friend and his coworker.
Who?
Branham.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's the number one guy.
Yeah, no, for sure.
There's another guy, but.
There's a couple other ones that did it. Yeah.
Who probably want to do this, who we know.
Oh, yeah.
But Branham would be.
You can't get all. There's too much rhyming going on there.
No, I meant Wex.
Oh, I was talking about the rhymes.
Yeah, no, hard pass.
Cut that dime with this lime.
He's Michael Connor. I am Joe George. We are broadcasting live from inside Republic Boot Company on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2 in 26 minutes. I'm hitting the road. I'm going to Lake Charles. I'll be out there this weekend at the Sportsbook at La Berge with Brian, with Sean. We'll do a show tomorrow as soon as the A&M postgame show is wrapped. And we'll be on the air on Sunday morning from 10 to 12 as well. And honestly, I can't wait. I'm an Aggie fan for the weekend. This is an exception. Everything we just talked about, because bleep the Miami Hurricanes and bleep the College Football Playoff Committee. I'm going to be with everyone at La Berge rooting for the Aggies this weekend. It's going to be an incredible environment. It's the best place to watch games, the best sports book to go to. And right now there, you can do 20-leg parlays. You can get your season-long bets in for any of your favorite sports. It's all available there at the Sportsbook. You can also book the VIP Fan Cave section right now on their website. Just go there at LaBerge's website. The QR code will pop up. You'll get connected to Pedro, and you can hook it up today. Plus, you can earn rewards on every wager you make when you use your Penn Play card. And don't forget, they also offer you that chance to place wagers on all of the Houston area teams. At LaBerge, must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Republic Boot Company in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George, Michael Connor, as we broadcast live from Republic Boot Company. The Houston Texans injury report has come out for today. Let's see, a couple things to note here. Players listed as questionable that matter. Woody Marks, questionable, was limited in today's practice.
Don't play him.
Derek Stingley Jr., limited in practice, questionable.
Don't play him,
please. Okay. Nick Chubb, questionable, was a full participant in practice.
Maybe play him a little bit.
These next two ones are interesting, because typically I feel like when you see a did not practice, I don't expect to also see questionable, but you get that from both Christian Kirk, who is, illness. Okay. So he's probably just sick. So we'll see Christian Kirk if he's feeling better by Sunday. Flu's going around a little bit. So the other one that's important, I would say, is did not practice today, Azeez Alshire, but is listed as questionable for the game. Kamari Lasser was a full participant in practice. Those are the notable players. EJ Speed, full participant in practice in this one. So maybe we'll see him back out on the field this weekend
Friday. I'd guess if you don't
Christian Harris.
You don't participate today, you're probably not playing Sunday.
Yeah, Christian Harris is – I mean, Christian Kirk is a little different because he's sick.
Doesn't even matter if he's out there anymore. What a waste of a trade.
Yeah.
He's worthless.
But Azeez, not practicing but questionable, we'll see. He's probably, the exception to that rule, honestly.
I mean, you don't need him. He can sit, too.
This weekend, yeah. I don't know if Stingley and Woody Marks sit this weekend.
I think there's no reason to play Woody Marks.
I think if they do play, I think Woody will be of a very limited role.
Yeah, like 5 to 10 carries.
Like, for fantasy football purposes, if Woody Marks is active, I would not play Woody Marks, Nick Chubb, wouldn't play him anyways. Or if you're like you're desperate, I wouldn't play Jawar Jordan. Like I think it's going to be a three-way split if they're all out there. Stingley, you're kind of banged up in the secondary, but like so if he plays, I just would expect his snap count to be a little bit lower than it traditionally is. Like that to me is the biggest difference maker I think we see this weekend.
And they might not even throw the balls away when he's out there.
Yeah,
so, well, might not even matter.
They're going to guard Trey Tucker.
Yeah,
I mean their number one target's going to be Bowers this weekend. Wow, it's going to be fascinating. But we got first-round college football playoffs tonight. You can hear that game, Oklahoma-Alabama, right here on the station.
Roll Tide, please.
You can hear the A&M game tomorrow, of course. Home of the Aggies, as we are. Gave away a pair of tickets. Congratulations to Eric.
I don't know
how
that one's going to go.
I picked A&M.
I pick A&M, too, but I think it's going to be tight.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be a good game. Like I don't think they're going to – I want them to boat race Miami because I'm so bitter as a Notre Dame fan. For them not making the playoffs?
Yeah, Miami could. It could happen because Miami might be. Miami's definitely got a quality of fake to them as well.
Yeah, they really like. Their schedule was tough early. They lost some bad games.
I think the Aggies got a quality of fake to them as well.
Yeah, they played the bottom of the barrel of the SEC.
They played a horrible schedule.
Like, there's no way to ignore it. And, like, they beat Notre Dame by one. They got a phantom holding call that was missed.
They
got a holding call that was desperately
getting
missed.
Getting rocked by Texas really put me on alert with them.
Do you have any hope for James Madison?
No.
What about Tulane?
No.
I don't think Tulane wins.
I think they can fight for a little bit.
But because of everything that's happening at Ole Miss, like I know the coaches have all returned except for Lane, obviously.
Yeah.
Your players are still there. Like, I don't think Tulane, I'm not going to pick them to upset. But like when I'm at LaBerge this weekend, I might look at the Tulane plus 17.5 and say they can keep it close. Because it feels like it could be a little disjointed.
Ole Miss has played some games where they play tight, too.
Yeah.
I can see it.
I don't think Tulane wins. I think James Madison's going to get embarrassed.
Yeah, I feel bad for them. And look, it's great that they're in, but man, like, there's really no point.
Yeah, and look, this is gonna be this is an important weekend, I think, for college football and for the fans, is because if Tulane and James Madison both do get boat raced, the college football playoff expansion decision comes.
Yeah, we can get these
January 23rd.
We can get these people out,
and I think if these games are embarrassing,
they'll change.
Then that's going to be a big factor. But like, look, a lot's going to have to change because. Yeah. People freaked out about this Notre Dame thing. And I'm honestly, I'm with them. That Notre Dame is guaranteed a spot in the top 12 next year if they are ranked in the top 12. I don't think any school should have that. But they also, because they slipped this one in without us knowing, and this was reported by Yahoo Sports, by Ross Dellinger the other day, that the college football playoff is going to be different next year as is currently constructed. They are guaranteeing the Power Four champion a playoff berth. And Notre Dame, if they are top 12. So that means if the playoffs would have been under these rules this year, Notre Dame would have been in instead of Miami. And Duke, with four losses as the ACC champion, would have been in instead of James Madison.
I think it's five.
Instead of James Madison, Duke would have been in. And, like, I get why when you put pen to paper with this and you're like, ACC champion guaranteed in your most egotistical scenarios, no conference would ever say what Duke did this year with all those losses would win their conference title. Unfortunately, it happened.
And that's where you're, I think you're going to see these conferences get rid of the conference championship game. I know there's money there, but, like, you can't have it where there's a five-loss team winning a conference championship game, and that's what counts.
I don't think that. I think the conference championships are going to stay. I think the tiebreakers are going to have to change.
Okay.
I think they're going to go to – I don't know if you saw this. We talked about this yesterday. The ACC next year has 17 teams, right?
Yeah.
12 of those teams are playing nine-game conference schedules.
Okay.
Five of the teams in the conference are only playing eight conference games. Because there's an imbalance.
We got to stop with all this. Yeah, made everything such a mess.
It's such a mess, and it's not getting any cleaner. So like they're going to announce their tiebreakers, and I think the only tiebreaker you can really do is look at the College Football Playoff Committee and say the two highest ranked conference teams, if they have the same record, if everything's flat out and there's no head to head, like what happened in the ACC this year. That the top two highest-ranked teams would be in. Because the Miami would have been in the title game, and they just would have won their conference anyways, problem solved. But instead, they've got these absurd tiebreakers, and that's what led to James Madison being in the playoff this year. So yeah. That's where like I'm also confused on like this reported freeze-out of Notre Dame, that like these conferences voted all this stuff in, or someone had to.
Yeah.
Like, someone put pen to paper with this. Like, how are they upset? Like, the schools are upset. Because I think these conferences are making decisions without consulting the colleges that play in the conferences. That, to me, is my biggest takeaway from all of this. It's like they're not talking to – the ACC is not talking to the bottom of the barrel of their conference getting their thoughts. They're only talking to the top dogs.
Yeah.
In which Clemson is going to say, dude, don't worry. We're going to win the title. It's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Same with Miami. They're not thinking about doomsday scenarios. And they're also being like, yeah, Notre Dame can have an auto bid. Like, that's fine. They're Notre Dame. Like, they respect them.
They bring in – here's the fact. I mean, Notre Dame brings in a massive TV audience. It makes them more money.
Yeah. But, like, so I think we're going to see, honestly, like, I think big changes. And, again, if Tulane and James Madison just get run off the field this weekend, I think that could be the end of a guaranteed spot for the Group of Five team. That, you know, you look at – it's going to be 1 through 16, and if they're not ranked in the top 16, that they are not going to be part of the college football playoff next year. And
honestly, fine with it.
I am too. Because
all I ever care about is I want competitive football games.
Yeah, and you know what? And even if they like make it convoluted, like if they say like if you're in the top 20 and you're not in the top 16, like Tulane was ranked 20th.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you get in at 16 because you were ranked 20th. Like I'm fine with a little bit of wiggle room like that. But even that feels convoluted because,
right.
Like, the whole thing with this, like, with all of this is if the committee regrets their decision about Notre Dame, they'll just rank them 13th. If the committee says, hey, we want to have Tulane be represented in the college football playoff, but they have to be in the top 16, they'll just put them at 16.
Right.
Like, it's just the reality. Like, if there's an argument for them to be in that top 16,
they'll put them there.
They'll just find a way to get it done. All right, he's Michael Connor. I'm Joe George. Brian McDonald back at the studio. We'll do our final segment from Republic Boot Company coming up next here on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie.
Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
It's literally time. Not really. But Monday morning, 7 a.m., John Lansdell until 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., at Nick's place. The Christmas party is here. Jeremy and I and Brian will be on from 10 to 1. We'll have autographed footballs, baseballs, a ton of gift cards, and honestly, some sick gift cards. I was looking at the list yesterday. Very nice. So Monday, December 22nd, is the Christmas party. Come on out.
Still gonna do the onside kick?
I don't think we're doing the onside kick this year.
Damn. That's the best thing. Guys diving in a parking lot.
Let's see. We'll do the junkie of the day in a second, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
These are the games.
Okay.
Wrap it before you tap it. Blow hard. Christmas roulette.
It all sounds very sexual.
Flip cup. Trash can basketball. Eggnog chug. And with that, there has been so much grief being given by the listeners that Courtney went soft and did half gallons.
Oh, you would bring me the full gallons.
We're going back to the full gallons.
Good.
This year. And then because Shipley's is sponsoring it this year, one of our sponsors, the Shipley Donut Eating Contest, all happening on Monday.
I honestly would show up for that. I could win that one.
Between 7 a.m. and 1. So the games are going to be spread out a little bit. A lot of me during John and Lance, but Jeremy and I will have some fun as well. All right, time for the junkie of the day. Brian, you going to lead us off today?
Yeah, I've got three quickly. So first off, one nomination for Puka Nacua, who, literally minutes after the game, before his coach could even see it while he's up at his press conference, was tweeting out more comments about the referees. Dude just does not learn. Another nomination to this joke of a boxing match tonight between Anthony Joshua and Jake Paul. That's going on in a few hours, so whatever. I might check it out, but I hate that I'm going to. And then my last nomination goes out to Michael Connor's wife for putting up 7 trees in their house. That is insane.
I'd put her up. I'd put her up for that too if I was you, actually.
Yeah, well, because you might get your.
Yeah, I did it for you. I know you'd like to nominate.
We had a texter say they had 11 trees. I forgot to mention that.
Wow.
God.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's way too much.
That's a lot.
Congrats on your mansion.
That's about 9.
Yeah, that's what I'm also assuming. Like, there's 11 rooms.
Yeah.
We're not you're not doubling up in every room. You got a junkie of the day for us, Michael Connor?
Mine isn't so relevant for you guys. It's just the world I live in now.
Okay.
These jackasses and these Air Force jets that keep flying around and almost hitting planes. I got buzzed by one the other day.
Really?
Yes. And I'm going to tell you something. And when you're in a little single-engine plane that's going 120 knots and you get buzzed by a jet because they're just being clowns and they want to mess with you, it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been almost hitting these airline planes, so I'm just going to give a shout-out to them. They're not doing what they need to be doing. Last thing we need is more planes falling out of the sky, people.
Yep, don't need that. I'm going to nominate. I got two people to nominate. Two ladies. Don't know their names.
Okay.
The one who I was trying to be polite to.
Oh, yeah, that lady that kicked
and say,
power
like,
out.
Watch out so you don't trip over yourself. He goes, I know. I was like, okay. Yes, ma'am. The other one, I was leaving work last night. You know, that down ramp, right? It's up and down. I'm as close to the wall as possible.
Oh, no.
This lady.
Right in the middle?
Because I was waiting for the traffic to go by because I couldn't leave. She just gave me the glare, and she birded me because she thought it was an up ramp.
She birded her back?
I was just so shocked.
You got to bird her back.
I was like, what am I getting birded for? I'm just sitting here trying to go home. What are you birding me for? So that lady who works at our building, I don't know who you are. Junkie of the day.
You should find her.
I think this is very simple. Our winner for Junkie of the Day.
Yeah.
It has to be Puka Nacua.
It is.
That dumb.
Absolutely.
Congrats on being good at football. maybe learn how to not be an idiot. All right, that'll do it for us. Alabama, Oklahoma coming up in just a little bit. Back tomorrow, myself, Ryan, Sean, at LaBerge as soon as the A&M game ends. That'll do it for us. Thanks to Republic Food Company for hanging out with us or being having us out here today. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS. QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.